We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Before we get started, I wanted to invite you to our next PaperCamp conference, which will take place March 14th and 15th in Los Angeles. This is our signature program where we tackle product development for wholesale, sales strategies, marketing to retailers, and exhibiting at trade shows. We will spend 2 days diving deep with you and helping you figure out everything you need to know to build a strong wholesale foundation. We're going to provide you with a ton of resources that took us years to uncover and share our favorite manufacturers with you. And we will welcome you with open arms to our Trade Show Bootcamp family. If you'd like to join us, head on over to tradeshowcamp.com/papercamp and register. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today, I sat down with one of our alumni, Taylor of Taylor Elliott Designs. She owns a fun desk accessory and gift company. Taylor started this company as a side hustle while working a full-time job. But through a lot of hard work and persistence, she has grown this into a thriving gift company whose products are sold in more than 450 stores nationwide. On today's episode, Taylor talks about why she decided to use a fulfillment house to store and ship her products. She talked about what questions she asked when she was choosing a fulfillment partner and what her priorities were when she was outsourcing this piece of her business. She also talks about how she brought on 40 sales reps and how working with them and attending markets with her reps has enhanced her business. Hey, Taylor, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Katie. I'm so excited to be here.
I am really excited, too, because we're going to dive into a couple of topics. I've been getting emails about some of these, so particularly fulfillment houses and working with reps and stuff. So I'm excited for you to share that side of your journey. But first, you have a really fun, bright collection of desk accessories and gifts. Tell everybody what types of products you offer.
Taylor Elliott Designs specializes in colorful, motivational, and fun-to-use desk accessories and gift items for women who love charming, playful, and adventurous style.
I love that. I love how, like, you know your messaging. You know who it's for.
Yeah, I know my customer.
You totally do. So you started Taylor Elliott Designs as a side hustle, right?
Yes. Yeah. I started Taylor Elliott Designs in 2013, and it was just a hobby, just a creative outlet for me to have fun with. I was working in the corporate world and I just needed something fun.
Yeah. What kind of corporate gig were you in?
I was working in oil and gas at the time, and then I moved to HR. I have a graphic design degree, and I had one graphic design job out of college, and it didn't go very well. And so I kind of expanded my horizons into the corporate world and eventually realized my passion was design and being creative. And so that's kind of how I got started with Taylor Elliott Designs.
That's awesome. So I recently held a mastermind retreat for some of our alumni, and the concept of this accidental entrepreneur kept coming up. Many people felt like they fell into business. Did you feel this way too?
Yeah, I love that term, accidental entrepreneur, because I do feel like that is exactly what happened. It's a funny story. My boyfriend, now husband, he went with his family for 3 weeks to Australia, and I had already been toying with the idea of opening up an Etsy shop. And when he was going to be gone for 3 weeks, I thought, what? Oh my gosh, I'm going to miss you so much. What am I going to do? So I started a company. So he's always like, see, if I hadn't gone to Australia, you wouldn't have started Taylor Elliott Design. So he's been with me from the very beginning. But I started with my laptop from college and an inkjet printer from college. And I started making customized stationery on Etsy. And like I said, it was a nights and weekends hustle for quite a while. And until it wasn't, and it became my full-time job.
That's awesome. So your design style has changed over the years, and the types of products you have changed over the years. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Like what you mentioned, you started with personalized stationery, but you offer so much more now. How did that evolve?
Well, I started with personalized stationery and personalized birth announcement prints and personalized pencils. And over the years, I have just really tried very hard to keep true to me and what I love. And I've tried to stay true to the bright colors and very upbeat and motivational products. And so I've really just whenever I'm coming out with a new product, I always think to myself, is this a great gift item? Is this something that a friend would want to give her best friend or to give to her mother or her sister? And so as soon as I think of an idea, I always think if it's a good, if it'll be a good gift item.
Yeah.
And so, and if it's something I would give, I mean, I feel like essentially I am my customer. And so I always put myself in that place as well. And so, I knew that I wanted to expand beyond just stationery. I love stationery. And so I still carry stationery, but I wanted to expand into gift. And so, we carry, weekly planners and pouches and palm and tassel keychains and pen sets and pencils and colored pencils. And so it really is desk accessories and gift items for the girl who loves color and loves motivation.
You really do know your audience. It's funny. It's funny to see your face light up when you do talk about it. So you sell direct to consumer on your retail side of your business, your retail website, but you also sell wholesale. So this is essentially, we've talked about this on past episodes, this is essentially like running two businesses. They're very different. Yes. What have you done to streamline processes for running both these businesses and like kind of taking work off your plate?
Well, like what you had mentioned earlier, it really is like running two different businesses. They're two totally different customers and you have to market them in different ways. I have a wholesale website and then I also have a business to consumer website, TaylorElliottDesigns.com. And I have tried to streamline my processes as much as possible. I really try to work smarter and not harder. And one of the ways that I have streamlined my processes is by outsourcing all of my shipping to a third-party fulfillment house.
How did you come to that decision? I mean, a lot of people like the idea, but it's a big undertaking to even research that. So how did you decide that that was the direction you wanted to go? And then I'd love to dive into some nitty-gritty there too.
Yeah, it was a very big decision. And whenever I make decisions for Taylor Elliott Designs, I'm always thinking about Taylor Elliott Designs 5 or 10 years down the road. Like what decisions or what is my vision in 5 or 10 years that's going to help me make this decision so that I can grow and scale my business in the best way possible? And at this point, when we were looking at a fulfillment house, I had everything in 3 bedrooms of my guest bedroom house, three bedrooms, all in the guest bedrooms. We had stuff in the garage and I had just found out I was pregnant and we were like, where are we going to fit a baby? Like, I mean, it's floor to ceiling products. I was shipping out all the products. I was designing all the products. I was doing customer service and it was just, I was doing all the things, but not really doing anything all that well. And design is my passion. And so I knew that I needed to take something off of my plate. And I knew that we needed to move Taylor Elliott Designs out of my house. And that's when we started looking for a third-party fulfillment warehouse.
So how did you find the fulfillment house that you're working with? I'm sure it was a pretty lengthy process.
It was. And really, when I started, I didn't even really know what they were called. I mean, they go by so many different names, just
they
a general
do, right.
warehouse, a 3PL, which is a third party logistics warehouse. You know, some of them kind of house with Amazon. And so I actually started by asking some of my friends that I met at market that also owned brands. One of the things that was really important to me when I was looking for a third party warehouse was that it was in driving distance to me, because when we get new products in, I wanted to be able to check out those products, make sure everything looked okay. And, you know, there are third party fulfillment warehouses all over the country. I just didn't want to have to hop on an airplane to go and check out my products.
That makes a lot of sense. So when you were starting this search for the perfect, you know, warehouse, what kind of questions were you asking as you reached out to people?
Well, one of the biggest questions I wanted to know was that if they integrated with Shopify. My platforms on my website and my wholesale website are Shopify, and I wanted to automate those processes as much as I could so that I could be spending time with my son and orders were coming in on my website, going directly to the warehouse. The warehouse was filling it and shipping it out to my customer. That was the biggest priority to me, is that it was a pretty hands-off process. And it was also very important to me that they handled my products with care. My brand is very girly and it's very fun. We package a lot of our products in hot pink bubble mailers. We put heart-shaped stickers on the outside, and sometimes we put confetti inside. And I had to make sure that the warehouse that was going to be handling my products understood that branding aspect. And a lot of them did not understand that, or they wanted to charge an arm and a leg to sprinkle a little bit of confetti in the bubble mailer.
Can you dispel some of the questions people have about how the pricing for a third-party warehouse works? Like, how do they charge a flat fee per month? Are they charging per order? Is it based upon the steps it takes to get the order out the door?
Yeah, when we looked at about 8 or 9 different warehouses, I feel like I drove all over Oklahoma and Texas looking for the perfect warehouse. And one of the things that immediately turned me off by some of the warehouses was how complicated their pricing structures were. I think in general, the pricing, you know, it's by the pallet for storage. So, you know, depending on how many pallets you have, and then they typically charge by the pick. So if you have someone on your business to consumer website that is just purchasing one item, then they would charge you by grabbing that item off of the shelf. And then some warehouses would charge for the shipping label and for the packing slip. And so it kind of depends. Every warehouse is a little bit different, but in general, the more simple the pricing is, the more I liked the warehouses.
Yeah.
If it was just easy and clear to understand.
Oh yeah. Simplicity is great.
Yeah.
For everybody involved.
For sure.
Is it typically like a percentage of the purchase price, or is it just a flat fee based upon the pick?
I'm just charged a flat fee based on the pick. And then some of my wholesale orders are larger. And so over a certain pick, they charge me a little bit more because the order is larger. But that's a pretty simple structure. And I can estimate what my costs will be with those flat fees.
Yeah. It sounds like you can easily forecast what your expenses will be tied to this. And you know your volume of orders per month. And are they picking and packing every day, or do you have them only doing it at certain days a week?
My warehouse is amazing, and they are shipping every single business day. And so one of the things that I love to tell to my business to consumer customers and also my wholesale customers is that my warehouse is amazing. If you place your order today, even a wholesale order, it will ship out tomorrow. Assuming we have everything in stock, which we typically do, the order will ship out tomorrow. Today's Thursday. Okay. I was thinking today was Friday. Yeah. Today is Thursday. If you place the order today, it will go out tomorrow. And I think as a small business, that's one of the things that helps set me apart from much larger businesses is that we're able to be so efficient and so quick.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, most people have a much larger turnaround time because they're packing and fulfilling orders in-house. You know, some people have things packaged ready to go, so they just have to pull them off the shelf and get them in the box. But other people, and that's not a small, short task either. It always ends up taking longer. Some people don't have everything packaged yet. And so when an order comes in, they're actually packaging the items and then packaging the boxes. So how has using a fulfillment house, I mean, it's freed up a lot of time for you to focus on higher level, like your CEO projects that you need to be focusing on, product development and all these other things. But in a way, it's also replaced your need to bring people onto your team that are working in your house or renting a space that you can go to work. Like, you're still working in your home, aren't you?
Yeah, I have a home office. I recently hired a sales manager, and she works remotely. But now that we outsource all of our shipping, that has freed up a lot of my time. We calculated it right after we transitioned to the fulfillment house, and it saved me about 25 hours a week. Isn't that insane?
Wow. I love that you quantified that, because I feel like most people I talk to, you know, they know it saved them time. They know what they're working on now instead of packaging orders, or, you know, they don't have to have a team member packaging that. But I love the specificity that, you know, okay, 25 hours a week.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that has freed me up so much to be able to design. That's what I'm most passionate about. And that's my strongest skill set that I bring to Taylor Elliott Designs. And so it's allowed me to design so much more. And one of my friends who also owns a business, she told me that we should be working on the business and not in the business. And so absolutely, I really feel like by outsourcing fulfillment that that has really allowed me to work on the business and not as much in the business.
Absolutely. Have you ever read The E-Myth?
I haven't. No, but I need to make note of that.
Yes, it's really good. I was looking away, so my mic cut out. But I've read it a couple times actually and picked it up again last week and was reading parts of it. But it's all about that concept of, you know, building a business that doesn't rely on you as the CEO or the owner of the business to continue running. So mm-hmm. like setting up processes and systems and things so that if you were to take a step back, whether it was a short-term thing or a long-term thing, that the business could still operate. And you've done a really great job of doing that with the fulfillment house and everything else you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah. So transitioning here a little bit, you also have sales reps on the wholesale side of your business. So I think you have four rep groups that you work mm-hmm. with and then about 40 reps within those groups. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah. I've got four rep groups and about 40 reps that cover, I believe, about 30 states.
Okay. And did they find you or did you reach out and pitch them? How did that all come to be?
That is a good question. Let me think about this. My very first rep group out of Dallas, I found them, and then I was referred in Atlanta. We were kind of both referred to each other, and it was just nice. A really good match. And then one of the other rep groups found me on Instagram.
I love how Instagram is, you know, it's a great market for selling things, but it's also a great way to connect with other people in the industry, oh, yes. whether it's buyers or reps or even just colleagues. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I work with four rep groups and it's really great. All four of the rep groups show at markets. And so I was telling you before the recording that market is basically my Christmas.
Tell us more about that.
Well, I love market so much. It's a really fun environment. It's high energy. It's really exciting. It's market's basically the performance that we've been practicing for multiple months. It's that debut of products that you've been working on for a long time. You're showing them to your customers, you're getting feedback, and then ultimately your customers are buying your new products, and it's really exciting.
So the markets you're doing, when we talk about markets, you guys, we're talking about trade shows in different territories. Are you mostly doing Dallas and Atlanta because that's where you have your rep groups, or are you doing other markets on your own?
I'm doing the markets where my rep groups are. So America's Mart in Atlanta, Dallas Market, Los Angeles Market, and Seattle Market.
Oh, nice. That's great. How has working with these reps and going to market with them, how has that enhanced your business and even your reach to new wholesale accounts?
Market's amazing exposure, especially like these gift markets. There's so much foot traffic. And during markets, wholesalers are looking to buy. They're looking for new brands to bring into their store. They're looking for new products. Typically, wholesale customers are shopping 4 to 6 months in advance. So we had just finished up our summer markets back in July and August, and those wholesalers are looking for products to bring into the store now, October, November, December for the holiday season. So it's amazing exposure. Attending market and working with rep groups has helped me grow my wholesale business so much. It's crazy. I would recommend it to anyone who's wanting to launch into the wholesale side of their business. Just you've got reps on the road who are going into stores, just areas that you really can't reach yourself. And they're showing your catalog. They're getting the word out about your brand and what you carry. It's a really amazing tool to help scale your business on the wholesale level.
Working with 40 reps is a lot, though. You have to sample them, give them some of your, you know, sample products, catalogs, and make sure you're ordering enough catalogs so that each of them have some, and making sure each of the markets you have catalogs there. Like, how did you factor those kind of costs and that kind of time into working with those reps and determining whether it was worth it?
It's definitely an upfront expense, especially getting all the samples to the showrooms. That's another expense as well. And every time we come out with new products, those reps have to get the samples and the showroom has to get the samples. We've kind of streamlined the process a little bit. Now that the reps have most of our current products, we just send them catalogs twice a year. We come out with a winter catalog and then a summer catalog, and which we found our catalog printer through the TSBC Facebook page, and they're amazing. Nice. They're a really great price point. Shout out to Catalog Kings. But anyway, We've really streamlined the process. And one of the tips that I have is that I actually send a small amount of catalogs to each rep. And if they need more, they can just reach out and let me know. I think in the beginning, I would send each rep like 30 catalogs. And now I only send them about 10. And if they need more, then they just reach out and send me an email and we get more catalogs out to them just to save that cost. It's a little bit hard to estimate how many catalogs to order and estimate that cost up front. But yeah. I feel like we've done a pretty good job since we've worked with the same catalog company for a couple of years. And nice. We can estimate the quantity that we order.
That's awesome. So aside from providing them with samples and also getting them the sales tools they need to do the best job possible, how are you nurturing your relationships with these reps? Are there any other tools you're providing them, or, you know, are you doing anything to incentivize them at all?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like we are always trying to interact with them and build relationships. I think in this industry, building relationships with reps and with my wholesale customers and just with my business to consumer customers, relationships are incredibly important. And so I try to reach out to our rep groups at least once a week just to pop in and say hello and just to let everyone know that they're doing an amazing job. And then every couple of weeks, I'll let them know what the top sellers have been from the previous couple of weeks, or if there is a rep that just did like a rock star, outstanding, amazing job, we highlight that rep and let them know like, hey, we see you, like you're doing an amazing job. And we run incentives as well. If occasionally we'll run an incentive, like whatever rep writes the most orders, they get a Visa gift card or they get a Target gift card or, you know, just something yeah. fun to get everyone excited. And, you know, a lot of the reps that we work with are repping multiple brands. And so in a way, we want them to remember, hey, Taylor LA Designs is a fun line. People are loving it. It's a colorful, fun brand. And especially around the holidays, we've got perfect stocking stuffers. And so I want those reps to remember, oh yeah, like I'm going to try to sell Taylor LA Designs because those notepads are really great stocking stuffers, or those pens are great stocking stuffers. And so I think just being in communication and building those relationships just so they don't forget about us.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure they wouldn't forget about you, but I agree. It's all about the relationships and it's all about clear communication. And I love that you send them regular emails, not just about, you know, what's new, but the best sellers and, you know, the incentives. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty cool. So what advice would you have for somebody that's just starting a product-based business now? You know, you've been doing this for a while, you've grown quite a bit. What kind of advice would you tell them?
Oh, I feel like I've got so many things that I could tell them. Anyone who's going into business, first and foremost, you don't need the fancy stuff. I started my business with a computer that I already had. And actually, I just retired my 8 or 9 year old college computer laptop last year and bought an iMac. I just bought an iMac. And I just, don't go into debt buying the fancy stuff. You don't need it. Maybe later on, you can buy those things when your business is larger, but you should not go into debt. I think you should start a business only with something that you're passionate about. I think that when challenging times come and burnout starts to come, your passion is the only thing that's going to get you through that.
I love that.
I think that you have to keep showing up. That I think consistency is one of the most important things in starting a business. I feel like if you keep showing up, even when you feel like you're showing up to no one, that's really important. I think whether it's posting on Instagram every day or creating new products, or I feel like early on I was posting on Instagram and I was like, I don't even know if anyone's seeing this. Like, I'm just going to pretend that 500,000 people are seeing this. And, you know, now people are seeing it and like people are on the other end when I show up. But for a long time, I felt like I'm showing up and no one's on the other end. But you just have to get past that. And that, you know, I think early on, especially, I think when opportunity doesn't knock, you have to build a door. And I had that on my background of my old laptop, I had that on the background for the longest time to remind myself to make the phone call, send the email, reach out to the retailer. Before I started working with reps, I was actually cold calling and emailing customers, wholesale customers, seeing if they wanted to carry Taylor Elliott designs. And, you know, very rarely does opportunity come knocking, but you have to go out and make that opportunity for yourself. And just, you have to be brave and put yourself out there and make opportunity happen for yourself. And so that's, I feel like, a huge part of growing a business early on.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think so much of being an entrepreneur is that being brave and taking risks and being okay with, quote, failure, you know, and maybe it's not 100% failure, but something, if it doesn't go as planned or it doesn't go the way you're expecting, just pivot, shift, try again in a different way. But we have to be resilient as entrepreneurs to be able to push through that too.
Definitely. If something's not working, I think approaching it from a different direction until you get the result you're looking for is key. Just not giving up and being persistent and resilient.
Absolutely. So what's next for Taylor Elliott Design?
I am in hardcore product development mode. I have begun working with some amazing manufacturers that have allowed me to do amazing product design. And so in January, we're launching about 25-ish new products, which is the biggest product launch I've ever done. And so I've just been really focusing on new products and new categories and just growing Taylor Elliott Designs and growing our exposure and just getting my brand into more stores. And I can't wait for January. Like I said, it's like, I feel like Christmas is in December, but my Christmas is coming in January because I cannot wait to show everyone all these fun new products.
Oh, that's awesome. I love to hear how proud you are of your work and how much you love connecting with your customers. It's a beautiful thing. Well, where can people find you online if they want to check out your retail shop, or even if there's stores listening that want to check out your wholesale stuff?
Definitely. Well, you can always find me hanging out over on Instagram. The Instagram handle, Taylor Elliott Designs, and then on my website at taylorelliottdesigns.com. And then we just launched a new wholesale website, and it's taylorelliottdesignswholesale.com. So that's a site for our approved wholesale vendors, and they can do all their wholesale shopping and all that good stuff from the convenience of their store or of their home.
That's awesome. Well, Taylor, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing this information. Like I said, we've had a lot of people asking about fulfillment warehouses and how they can kind of relinquish some of these steps that they have to take to get their product out into the world. And so it's been really fun to hear how you did it and the questions you asked, and then too, how reps have elevated your brand as well. So thank you for sharing with us today. And I loved hearing your story.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure, Katie.
Hey friends, I started Proof to Product as a way to share all of the amazing things that our alumni community is doing and how they are growing their businesses. Now, you may remember Lisa Sarmento of Tiramisu Papery. She was on episode 55 of Proof to Product. Well, I wanted to give you a little bit more background about Lisa. When she came to our Paper Camp conference, she was selling to approximately 20 stores, and she had three main goals that she wanted to hit within the first year. She wanted to refine her wholesale program to reach a wider audience, so she was bringing in new accounts. She wanted to exhibit at the National Stationery Show, which was going to be her first trade show. And she wanted to hire sales reps across the United States. Now, if you've talked to Lisa or listened to the episode, you know that she has a ton of ambition and a very deep purpose for the work that she does. And I had zero doubt that she would accomplish all three of these goals and more. Less than a year after coming to Paper Camp, Lisa's products were carried in 124 stores, including Paper Source. She had added 22 sales reps to her team, and she had successfully exhibited at her first trade show. And today, these numbers are even higher. When I asked Lisa about her experience at Paper Camp, this is what she had to say. She said, "I am very grateful for what Paper Camp has done for me. I can't tell you how much things have changed for the better thanks to your program. The wisdom shared by bootcamp speakers and your encouraging words are a huge part of it. Thank you, thank you, thank you." If you would like to uplevel your business, build or refine your wholesale program, or prepare your company to exhibit at trade shows, I want to personally invite you to join us March 14th and 15th in Los Angeles for our next Paper Camp conference. To learn more and register, head to tradeshowcamp.com/papercamp. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at proof2product.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.